We're going to go ahead with a lesson now, starting, it'll take a few sessions actually, but we're going to be talking about Israel's fall. We refer to that fairly often, and people have different understandings on that, and I'm going to try and go through and show what the scripture says as I see it about Israel's fall, Israel's blinding and casting away. Israel's casting out of the land is mentioned a couple times in the Old Testament. It's not really prophesied as to when it'll be, but that 70 AD is often looked at as something about Israel. You know, I mean, it's kind of a... In Isaiah, well, before we get into the lesson, let me just put up there some of the verses in Isaiah. Welcome, Yusuf. Let's see, Isaiah, that's in 6. Look at 9 and 10. When Israel was blinded and cast away, this is the prophecy of when, of what's going to happen when God inspires someone to cast them, to use this curse on Israel to cast them away. Well, after they had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, they were given a period of diminishing until God actually cut them off totally at the end of Acts. You can see that happening. Paul is the one that God inspired to read this to them, and let's just read it, and then I want us to see something about the casting out that occurs. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye, but understand not." So they'll hear it, and they'll stop. They won't any longer be able to understand it. "And see ye indeed," boy. I guess he didn't want to. Maybe he had internet trouble. He said, "I have a question," and then he left. But anyway, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. So their eyes will take it in, but they won't be able to perceive what they're seeing. Blind, you know, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, blinded, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert. Convert is used by God for Israel, going from apostate Israel to believing Israel. Convert and be healed. Well, that's what happened in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. Paul read this very curse to them. God applied it, and we know that he applied it because what follows in Isaiah in the prophecy. "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities..." Hold on just a minute, please. Sorry about that. Then said I... So, you know, we've read Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. And that's the curse that was given for Paul to read to Israel after they had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and then diminished throughout Acts. He reads this to them, and then it's what's following the reading of that curse. It says, "Then said I, Lord, how long?" In Isaiah 6, verse 11. And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant." Well, that's what the Romans did. They razed the city, and not razed it in glory, you know, razed meaning leveled, "and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Look at the next verse, Isaiah 6:12, "And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Well, that's today. That's what followed ever since they were thrown out of the land, and that throwing out is talked about here, but it doesn't say it's going to be 70 AD, and it doesn't what it talks about here is what happened before the throwing out of the land in AD 70. AD 70 is not in the Bible. The Bible was completed before that. And what happened was that Paul was inspired to read these two verses, Isaiah 6, 10 and 11, to Israel, casting them away, blinding them, casting them away, not out. They weren't yet cast out of the land. They had a few years while Rome marched on them, and then they were cast away. Casting away occurred in as Paul read it to them in Acts 28, verse 29, was the final casting away. Let's read that. You can see it comes before the casting out. They were still in the land for a couple years, few years possibly. Let me get over to Acts here. Acts 25. I'll start with 25, where Paul, he preached to them, told them that Jesus was the Christ, gave them the gospel of God, which they had rejected, and they rejected it again. And some of them, though, it says some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So then Paul, I'll read through verse 29, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, that's what we just read, the prophet, unto our fathers, Israel's fathers. They were all Jews there. So it'd be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the prophets, came later. That was Isaiah, which was fairly late in Israel's history, before Christ. I don't have the exact date. But it was just, as my understanding, it was just before the Babylonian exile when they when they were taken to Babylon, and Daniel occurred, and then Ezra and Nehemiah. But it says, go unto this people. This is what Paul is reading to Israel after they rejected the last time, rejected the fact that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, risen from the dead, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. That's what we said. It would go into their ears, but they wouldn't, it'd be like they don't perceive it. And seeing you shall see, but not perceive, and not perceive. Same thing. They couldn't perceive it. And then verse 27, he goes on and he says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Before I understood this, I used to connect those, their ears are full of gross wax. But that's not what it says. It's talking about their hearts are waxed gross, or thick, unresponsive. And their ears are dull of hearing. Same thing. They're deaf. Their eyes have they closed, blinded, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted. There's that word again from Isaiah. Converted from apostate Israel to believing Israel. But they didn't. And I should heal them. Next two verses should clinch it. Look at 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent, not will be sent. By the time of Acts 28, it was sent. It was sent in Acts 20. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So he's going to go ahead and preach it to them after Acts 28. And that's where we get the prison epistles, so-called prison epistles, the last seven books that he wrote, epistles that he wrote. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, which continues to today. Doesn't do any good to reason. Without the Word of God, anyway. So, there is a difference between Israel's casting out in AD 70, when they got cast out, which is not literal. We just read where there will be an utter forsaking, a great forsaking in the land, but it's not told when, and it's not the same as this casting away that we just read. They're cast away from God by their, you know, rejection, by the blasphemy in Acts 7, but then they were given a period of diminishing where some individuals were given, the Lord knew who there was that was in that remnant according to the choice of grace. They would, the election of grace, they would choose grace. And he gave them that period of time there. I don't know if it was a quarter century or 15 years, but about that long. It was a long, I mean, you know, think back 15 years from now, you know, if that was the period of time, it was pretty long for them in their lifetime. But, you know, as far as between the time of Christ's crucifixion and us today, it was just a minute period sandwiched there in between Acts 9 and Acts 28, I guess. Don't quote me on that. I'm not. let's go to the lesson. I've got some notes prepared so that we kind of go through it in order and get some meaning out of it. If you can open your Bible and follow along, it helps. You've got a place to take permanent notes then that you can always go back and find. And we're going to consider what the Bible says about Israel's fall, their blinding, and their casting away, and sometimes called by the prophetic term, Lo Am I. Lo Am I. And that's from Hosea 1:9, of course. But and this can help answer questions such as, are there things or situations today to which the Bible, that description of being offered to idols applies, you know, in especially in First Corinthians and in Romans, it talks about food offered to idols. We want to find out if there are situations today to which that biblical description of being offered to idols applies. Are there any weaker brothers in the world today at all? Is it talking about Christians that don't study the Bible? Is it talking about new Christians? Weaker brothers in the Bible, when it's talking about them in the Bible, what's the sense that is, you know, spoken of in the Bible? What does it mean? Are there some today? Are there any godly biblical, is there a use for or a need for spiritual signs, sign of tongues to be given today? Is there any, you know, any possible way that they could, the biblical tongues could be going on today? Do the biblical rules and reasons for head coverings apply today? And many other things that are mentioned in the Bible in those prison epistles. They're not mentioned there. It's over with by then. It's over with today. Well, I'm giving you the... but we're going to consider those things and see why they were, what they were for, and what about today? So, do we need to find biblical answers to each of those questions we were talking about? For instance, do we have to say, well, that was during a transition period, so it might not be the same today? Or, let's find the overall reason, I'm trying to think of a why don't people push their foot down when they get in the car to go? Why don't they push their foot down on the floorboard up there in the upper left? Used to be a starter button there. Why don't we do it anymore? We should be pushing our foot down on that starter button. You know, things that have changed, that are no longer applicable, we have to recognize and not just carry it on blindly. So, are there you know, is there an overriding biblical fact that's being overlooked that, that covers all those questions and more? I don't believe that we can be right in directly applying any of those specialized biblical admonitions today because of the change since then in God's statements about the present condition of Israel. They were for Israel. In this study, we're going to see, I hope we can see that God's holy nation of Israel is no longer here today. So the rules that applied to them and about them aren't applicable today. There's no object for the rules. There's no, you know, in other words, when you go downtown and you let's say for instance, if you go and you purchase at the market something from an Israelite, you're supposed to pay a tax to them. Well, if there's no more Israelites, who are you going to pay the tax to? You know, I'm just trying to get it through how it can't apply anymore if they're not there anymore. So the rules that only applied to them and about them are not applicable, but are waiting for God to recall his holy nation of Israel to the land. Then they can apply as God applies them. So those specialized biblical admonitions were given during and for that unique period between when grace was given to Paul in his salvation and he was it was committed to him to dispense the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. During that period, when it ended when it stopped being only to the Jew, only sent, I should say, it would apply to anybody that believed the gospel. Anybody would be saved that believes the gospel. But the sending of it was specifically to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when Paul writes these letters, Romans, 1 Corinthians, where these rules are found for the Jews and the Greeks, that's why we're no longer, the gospel is no longer given to just to the Jews and the Greeks. I mean, sent just to the Jews and the Greeks. So now, you know, he stopped putting those rules in his epistles, in the prison epistles. They're not for us. They're for people that were in the body of Christ, but they were in the dispensation of the gospel, which ended. We are now in the dispensation of the grace of God. And those rules are not given for the dispensation of the grace of God in the body of Christ. So we're going to see that those admonitions were specifically for that time period when Paul was assigned and primarily concerned with a temporary ministry of saving as many as he could out of the nation of Israel. Actually, the nation of Israel had fallen. So out of those gathered Israelites there before they were cast out and cast away, or the other way around, cast away and cast out. But saving as many individuals as he could from Israel into the body of Christ before Israel was fully blinded and cast away in the last half chapter of Acts. So it would be from Acts 9 to Acts 28 that we're talking about. That's the only time period when there was this difference, this two gospels. Actually, two gospels was only until Acts 15 when Israel pledged to only go to the ones that were in their group to minister to themselves and not to evangelize anymore. To check that out, it's in Galatians 2:9. So Israel was cut off at the end of Acts. Broken off is the term there in Romans 11:20. Israel's blinding and casting away is not made up. It's not fictitious or a fable. It's not a contrived explanation. You can read it for yourself in the last half chapter of Acts, starting at about verse 17, somewhere in there. Inspired of God, Paul uses Isaiah's casting away curse that we read at the beginning. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, in verse 10, Paul uses that curse prophesied in Scripture to temporarily end Israel's special status as God's peculiar treasure, God's holy nation, God's people. That they fell. That's what happened there. Isaiah 6, 9, we can look at those in the text there. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye, but understand not, and see ye, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes. So you can see blinding there. You can see he's talking about blinding them. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That was a prophecy of the time when Israel will have passed that limit of God's mercy back then. It was to be the time for God to act. Why would God want to end Israel's opportunity to love and to follow God's requirements? Why it's, you can hear in the wording there, shut their eyes. Let me get back to it here. What's it say? Shut their eyes, lest they see. He's preventing them after years of asking them to listen, and they insisted on going blind. He what would you say? Gives them what they asked for, so that he could go on with his plan. The rest of his plan. Israel was not the whole thing, as we know here today. But God froze their position to fix their problem. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. Excuse me just a minute, please. Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Not enemies between ourselves. Talking about enemies of God. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. God did all that was necessary for the atonement, but we had to receive it, and we have. How would we non-Israelites ever escape condemnation if Israel would have finally repented back then instead of blaspheming the Holy Ghost? If they had repented and believed and followed their Messiah as their king, what about the Gentiles, the rest of the world? We wouldn't have the salvation that we now have. We would be waiting for salvation, trying to endure to the end like Israel. Those, you know, Gentiles that wanted to be proselyted into Israel to become part of that program, or those that even would just bless Israel without becoming circumcised. So, of course, God knew what he was doing. When questions arise that we can't figure out, we have to trust in God's wisdom, his planning, his word, and his judgment, rather than leaning on our own understanding. So here we can see why we are not under the same rules and the tongues, the ordinances that the body of Christ was under during the dispensation of the gospel before that ended, before Israel's blinding and casting away at the end of Acts. We don't have and we can't have the same special sending, special privilege, special duty that they had. At that time, the body of Christ was to still to be trying to court or woo some of the Israelites individually not the nation of Israel anymore, but just individual Israelites into the body of Christ with the gospel of Christ. They don't come in some other way, just like, you know, it's the same way that we come in, by believing the gospel. The gospel of Christ was the gospel by which Christ had saved Paul, Saul of Tarsus, into the body of Christ, even though Saul had been unforgivable in Israel's doctrine and program, Israel's kingdom. He was unforgivable. But God saved him. God took that unforgivableness on himself and paid the penalty. Died on the cross. Look at Acts 7, 51. Well, we don't have to. That's nine verses there. That's it documents Saul of Tarsus had committed Israel's unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Those nine verses, I guess it is, from Acts 7, 51 to 59. You can write that down, look it up. It's quite dramatic. But we're going to go on. God inspired and commissioned Paul to recite that curse that we had read at the beginning and read again in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, to Israel. He recited it to Israel on God's command, casting them away. That is the last that the Bible says about Israel as God's peculiar people, God's peculiar treasure, other than the biblical prophecies of what is yet to be fulfilled in the future. So that ended them. They're not a factor today. So let's read beyond that casting away prophecy, and we'll see what is prophesied to follow that casting away. And we want to take this in order, as we've said, we're going through it, so it's not a hodgepodge of things hitting us in our understanding, but we want to try and keep it in sequence. So we'll see that it is the curse that God designed the casting away of Israel for the casting away, and it was only to be used at the right time, and that was when Paul used it. Isaiah 6, 9, and he said, go, did I say 9, 6 before? It's Isaiah 6, 9, go and tell this people. So Israel was God's people, and when the Bible talks about this people, it's referring to Israel. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. So that's blindness. It's not blindness in part anymore that went on in Romans 11, written in Acts 20. This is Acts 28. This is occurring when Paul reads it to them. They're no longer blinded in part. They're just plain blind from this curse being on them. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Again, blindness. Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And that happened in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29, when Paul spoke this to Israel. Going on in Isaiah, though, in the prophecy, verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted, without inhabitant, and the houses without man. So that cities be wasted, that part occurred in AD 70, and the land be utterly desolate, that second part occurred in the century that followed, the many centuries now that followed that AD 70 destruction. Verse 12, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. So Paul read this to the leaders of Israel in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29, after having courted them to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead. And they wouldn't. Well, some did and some didn't. And that was the last of the remnant according to the election of grace that came into the body of Christ. That was the very last of it. So that would have been about, when he read it, would have been about AD 60 to 65, a few years before the destruction of Israel in AD 70. And you can see that there has been a great forsaking in the midst of the land since then. Now let's look at the next verse in Isaiah, in the prophecy. Isaiah 6:13. Okay, Isaiah 6:13. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. So there is going to be a return of a portion of that holy nation to Israel, to the land, in the future. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten. A tribulation. That refers to Jacob's trouble. Who returns? It's a part of that nation, Israel, not us. And who is going to be eaten? Who is in that tribulation? It's Jacob's trouble. It's Jacob. Israel is, not us. As a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. For Israel, let's look at some verses. Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So in other words, there, Israel has to look beyond what we would consider their end. You know, they have to endure to the end. Beyond that is what they're looking forward to, what they're anticipating. John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's who he was talking to, the fleshly people right in front of him. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when they're born of the Spirit, that would be their second, you know, they were born of the flesh one time. When they're born again, they're born of the Spirit. That's after they've died and been resurrected. It's talking about regeneration there. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 44 and 46. It is sown a natural body. It is raised. There's the resurrection. It's raised a spiritual body. That's born again. That born of the Spirit instead of born of the flesh. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Howbeit that which was first, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So when the natural ends, after that, afterward, it says, is the spiritual. That's the resurrection. As a teal tree, as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Israel will return, and there shall be tribulation and trouble for Israel. Well, let's look at Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is Israel, not non-Israelites like us. That's what Gentiles are, non-Israelites. Jacob is Israel. It's a renaming. Israel is the new name for the person Israel, who had 12 sons, 13 children, and, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, the children are the children of Israel. That's, you know, what Israel became a nation when they came out of Egypt. He says it's even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So they'll be in the trouble, the tribulation, and they will be saved out of it by Christ. Verse 11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Talking to Israel, not to you. This sounds like, oh, the Lord's going to help me in all my troubles. No. He's talking to Israel still. The Lord is our Savior, you know, through Paul and the gospel that Paul preached. But this is talking about Israel. For I am with thee, Israel, saith the Lord, to save thee, Israel, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. So they're scattered in many nations, and the ones, you know, he goes on, let's go on. Yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. In other words, they've been apostate all these years. They're going to catch some of it. So, Exodus 19 verse 6 says that Israel shall be, that's future, and it's still future from us now, shall be a holy nation. And there was a preview of that nation during the acceptable year of the Lord, and Peter talks about it, and says, I'm trying to think of the wording, hath begotten us. You know, they were begotten again. They at that, during that brief period, they did have the unction. And they were undergoing trial, trouble. You know, James was killed with a sword by Herod. And others, there was a persecution going on. So, verse 6 again, Isaiah, Exodus 19, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou, Moses, shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I added Moses for understanding because he was speaking to Moses. So whoever is over there now is not a holy nation. Whoever is over there now is a United Nations state that was forcibly placed there by humans, not by God. That which is there now is not God's doing, although he allowed it. That which is over there now is not the fulfillment of Israel's prophecy. So it's yet to come. And the things, don't look for prophetic events over there now. They're not happening. There may be some coincidental close things that look like it, but you're misleading yourself to think that Israel's prophecy is going on now. As long as the body of Christ is still on earth, there is no prophetic fulfillment going on for Israel. There is, you know, what the Lord revealed to Paul for the body of Christ is what's going on today. God's future headquarters on earth, the land, it's a huge area. From southern Turkey down to the Nile River in Egypt, and all the way east to the Euphrates River. It's a triangle, which actually Satan claimed it. Satan said that he walked through it. Remember in Job? However, God said, oh, really? And then God had Abraham walk the perimeter of the land that he would give his, you know, give to Abraham and to his seed. And he had him go, he went into Egypt, came from Ur of the Chaldees, went up to Haran or Charan, it's in the New Testament. So that was a silent statement that God would reclaim the land for his people and his kingdom out of heaven on earth. Reclaim that land that Satan usurped in the Garden of Eden and built his headquarters around and tried to build a Tower of Babel in that area there. That's part of God's, the land that God is going to give Israel, and Jesus Christ will return and rule the world from that whole huge area. So that little tiny strip that they have now, strip of land, that, well, I shouldn't say they have, it's man's plant of a state of Israel that's there now. It's not the Israel of God. So just in closing, in the future, God will take back his authority here on earth through the descendants of Abraham under the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it'll be through Abraham's descendants, through Isaac and Israel, not through either the descendants of, you know, Ishmael, or through the body of Christ. Even it'll be through Israel that God will send Jesus Christ to earth and take back his authority on earth. What about his authority in the heavens? He's taking that back today with us. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's our job today. Don't be lulled into fleshliness, into worldliness, into thinking that, well, when I get to heaven, I'll fight the battles there. No, we're in the battle now, today. Not to retake the earthly kingdom, but in retaking in heavenly places, principalities and powers. Ephesians 6. Take your armor. Okay, I'm done and ready for questions, comments, questions.